Let's say, you know, he gets into alcohol or drugs.
We turn then to
somewhere along the road,
chapter 5 of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5.
It has nothing to do with God.
Reading the first 12 verses. And as
it's
I said, basically what Jesus is doing here is a description of
God, a person,
the characteristics that a
that
person
kind
belongs
of
to the kingdom of God.
That kind of man-centered sorrow, he says, produces what? Death.
Matthew 5, beginning at verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Peter had
and blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
Peter had just committed.
So far the reading of God's holy word.
And as a rooster crowed,
second,
we read that Jesus during that time,
verse
you know, when he was being spit upon,
is our text for this morning. Blessed are those who mourn,
running down
for
the
they
space,
shall be comforted.
We read in Scripture that he
together
looked at
with
Peter,
what we read in Luke
locked,
chapter 6,
and then Peter
in Luke chapter 6,
what he had done,
verses 22,
how he had denied his
these
sin.
Are the Beatitudes.
They're a little
worded a little different.
These
were
he
spoken
do?
A little somewhat later than
did he laugh?
The ones in Matthew, but here Jesus in verse 20.
No, he mourned
says,
because of his sin. We read that he wept bitterly. He had genuine sorrow, a godly sorrow.
As evil for the Son of Man's sake.
Now that's the kind of mourning that Jesus is referring to in this beatitude. Blessed are the happiness of those who mourn, just like Peter, because of their sin, for such mourning produces repentance, and that leads to
and then in
salvation.
25, the second part of verse 25, "Woe to you who laugh now,
we read in Matthew,
for you
27.
Shall mourn and weep."
In the New International,
beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ,
who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned.
I think you'll all agree that life is a mixture of tears and smiles, laughter and crying, happiness and sorrow.
And if you and I had a choice,
that I
we'd probably choose a life of laughter and smiles and happiness rather than a life of sorrow and tears.
It lead to repentance.
But now Jesus says to us this morning,
no, because this worldly and his worldly sorrow,
what did he do? He committed suicide. And he was doomed to destruction. Just read that one verse
18
and 19.
The word blessed,
translated blessed, doesn't exactly stir up or arouse your blood, does it? Your emotions.
But the best example to know and to
but if I would say, oh, the happiness of
is to look at Jesus.
Oh, the happiness of the person who mourns.
We are, after all, to
then
be
you
prick up your ears,
in,
don't you?
In Christ's image.
And that's exactly
and
what
we're called
Jesus
and we're challenged
here.
To be like him.
Blessed means being happy.
Now, it struck me as I was preparing this
but the Greek word actually goes much deeper than that. It is a happiness in the most exalted sense.
It refers to the highest state of happiness
that
anyone can have.
That doesn't mean he never laughed. I believe he laughed when he was a youngster.
To be blessed by God means to have God's approval.
I believe he laughed and he enjoyed himself at the wedding of
Cana. It's the word that David, for example, uses in Psalm 32 when he says, blessed, that is,
or
the happiness of the person whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are
hiding among the leaves in that sycamore tree. Now, we have no difficulty understanding.
But in the inspired word, the Holy Spirit did not record ever that he smiled or that he laughed. But it is recorded that he wept.
Jesus says.
And in the Old Testament, prophet Isaiah already had prophesied that the Messiah would be a man of sorrows. Someone who would be acquainted with grief.
Person,
you should be happy. And not only did Jesus experience physical pain, but he also experienced
a person who just has lost
mental pain at the hands of his own people, who rejected
or to
him,
a person whose house has just gone up in flames,
who despised him.
Blessed are the happiness of those who mourn.
Even his own disciples caused him grief.
A soldier
lost in Afghanistan.
You
say to the parents,
him.
Oh, the happiness of blessed of those who mourn.
Resurrection. Jesus was
Luke 6,
with
verse
grief.
21, as we saw.
In John 11,
which is very often called the Sermon on the Plain account of.
And Jesus, as we already said,
Jesus
repeats some of these Beatitudes.
And
he says,
Lazarus,
blessed are you who weep now,
because you will laugh.
And in John 11, we read of one of two occasions.
He says in verse 25, woe to you who laugh now.
He wept at the graveside of Lazarus.
For you will mourn and weep.
Now the question is, why did Jesus weep?
Now what's your reaction to statements like that?
We read in John 11, verse 33, that he groaned.
He groaned in the spirit and was troubled.
If there's one thing that most people try to stay away from,
it's
all those things that bring us sadness and sorrow.
It certainly was more than just sympathy for his close friends.
Oodles of money.
After all, Jesus knew
in order
to enjoy ours to be raised from the dead and to drown our sorrows and our troubles.
And so the question is for us this morning,
he wept,
what
I believe,
exactly does the
Jesus
death
mean?
Of Lazarus, his friend, and the grief that it caused his Lazarus'
mean
sisters,
that
Mary and Martha,
we should walk around
the ugliness,
all
of the destructive power of sin?
I understand under the Taliban rule in Afghanistan.
The other occasion that Jesus wept was on Palm Sunday as he approached Jerusalem.
He was riding on a donkey,
how
remember.
We should act as citizens of the kingdom of God.
And right there in the middle of a jubilant crowd, waving palm branches and putting their coats on the road and so forth, cheering him on.
And we.
We read in Luke 19, verse 40, we read that he breaks out in sobs and in
that's
tears.
That's our theme for this morning. Weep or laugh.
Which? And the Greek word suggests that this is a very strong emotion.
The citizen of the kingdom of God.
It suggests the heaving of the bosom.
Who are these
people?
Some of you
know exactly what I mean.
What is Jesus trying to tell us?
Heaving of the bosom, the sob and the cry of a soul that is in deep agony.
The attitude as well as all the other
beatitudes. In other words, we're not talking here about a few tears in the corner of his eyes. But he burst out in tears.
In the first beatitude, for example, it said, blessed are those who are poor in spirit.
Try to picture that.
And that has nothing to do with
God himself,
with financial or economic poverty.
God the Son.
But instead, it refers to our spiritual poverty.
Crying.
And again, we ask,
our unworthiness.
Why did he cry?
Our helplessness apart from God.
You see, Jesus knew that the city.
So in this second beatitude, Jesus is not telling us that it's wrong to grieve the loss of a loved one.
He knew that.
He's not telling us that we cannot shed tears when we are hurting inside.
And others would be carried off.
He's not telling us that we should never laugh. What Jesus
exactly
is telling us in this beatitude is what should be the state of our heart.
Jerusalem was destroyed by the Roman army.
What should be the attitude of a
citizen
of the kingdom of God towards his
weeping,
sin
I believe,
and his misery?
Goes deeper than that.
Because Jesus knew the reason for the destruction of Jerusalem and the sin of the
God
people, the rejection of him as a promised Messiah.
the Savior of the world, you see.
God was so displeased with the sin of man that he punished it in his own sinless Son, Jesus Christ.
The consequences of sin. He saw the devil.
The question is now, what should be our attitude
amongst the Pharisees and the Sadducees, those who just went through the motions and the traditions?
Or do we weep about our sin?
He saw how they were false shepherds, misleading and deceiving the sheep.
Oh, the happiness of those who mourn.
He saw the immorality and the lack of love for God. And all of this cut like a knife deep into his sinless heart.
Paul distinguishes between godly sorrow.
That's why he was called a man of sorrows.
And worldly sorrow.
Someone who is acquainted with grief.
And godly sorrow is a God-centered
the misery
sorrow.
And the pain that sin causes.
It's a kind of sorrow a sinner
by this example teaches us what our attitude should be towards sin. Like Jesus, it should trouble us. We should mourn because of the sins, the personal sins that we commit. Beloved, I don't know about you, but every night that I approach the throne of God in prayer, I acknowledge that I mourn the sins that I've committed that day. The inner feelings of anger, perhaps jealousy, the doubts, the fears, and the lack of faith in God's promises. The things that I should have done but did not do. The opportunities I let slip by to witness of my Savior and my Lord. You see, that's what Jesus meant when he said, blessed are those who mourn, that we are conscious and confess our sinful deeds and words and thoughts. Because they hurt the heart of God, our Father. And it hurts the heart of Jesus Christ, my Savior. It grieves the Holy Spirit who dwells in me. But it goes beyond that. Christ never sinned. And yet he mourned because of the destructive power of sin in the world around him. And we too should mourn because of the sin of our society today. We read in Psalm 119, verse 136, rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your law. Beloved, people today are not keeping God's law. Are there rivers of water running down from our eyes? We see the violence, the divorce, homosexuality. A nation that violates the commandments of God. When you hear someone swear and takes God's name in vain, someone says, and I almost hesitate to say it, but someone says, God damn. Or says, Jesus Christ. Does it hurt you that this is what they're doing to the God, our Father, whom we love? If someone said that about our dads, and used our dad and smeared his name, wouldn't we stand up in defense? Do you mourn because your neighbor rejects Jesus Christ as his or her Savior? Knowing that unless he repents, he or she is headed for destruction? When you hear the number of babies that are being aborted throughout the state of Michigan and throughout this country, I believe I read just recently 1.2 million babies are being aborted every year in our nation. Do you mourn?
Isn't that a slap in the face of our Creator God who created life? You see, beloved, the danger is that we become almost immune and insensitive to those things around us so that they don't bother us anymore. We just take it for granted. We no longer mourn for the sin in our own lives, and if the swearing and the filthy language that is being used around us, if the violent movies with explicit immoral scenes and the words of songs that are being sung on our radios and that mock God, if those things no longer trouble us, if it causes us no grief, then there's something wrong with our attitude towards sin. Sin in every form should grieve us. And this kind of godly sorrow leads to repentance, a turning to God. Do we weep like Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem because we see the destructive power of sin and the misery all around us in the world? Instead of mourning for the sin, the world today laughs. The world says, have fun. Don't take sin so seriously. Life is too short to go about mourning about your sin. Eat, drink, and be merry. Live it up. Do whatever you want to do. Whatever gives you pleasure. Do drugs, drink, engage in intimate relationships. Before marriage, have an extramarital affair, so what? We live in the 21st century, after all. The dirtier the movie, the more the people laugh. The filthier the language, it doesn't bother anybody anymore. The prophet Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 8, verse 12, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Were they ashamed? The New International translates these words as, are they ashamed of their loathsome conduct? You see, beloved, that's true of our society. People are no longer ashamed of their nudity. They don't longer blush when on a TV they talk about intimate things. They don't get beat red as we once did when they hear someone swear or using filthy language. Some are even proud and they boast of their sinful conduct. And they make fun of you and they ridicule you. If you call their behavior sinful, they'll say they're too narrow-minded, you're intolerant. Laugh now, that's the attitude of the world. You see, the one mourns because of their sin, the other laughs about their sin. It reflects a difference in attitude. And ultimately, it describes the state of a person's heart. It separates the believer from the unbeliever. It reveals the antithesis that exists between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. It shows who is a citizen of the kingdom of heaven and who is a citizen of the kingdom of darkness. You see, you cannot be both. You mourn because of your sin and the sin in the world around you. Or you laugh along with the world. It's one or the other. Weep or laugh. Which is it? Now, in the second place, why are those who mourn blessed and happy? And why are those who laugh now, why will they not be blessed? And since I want to end the sermon on a positive note, let us first deal with the latter. Those who laugh now. Those of the world who often think that life is a big joke. They're only interested in the here and now, and they have no concern for the future. They engage in worldly pleasure. They worship sports, and they prefer the Super Bowl instead of going to church and worship God. They don't care how they live, or they seldom mourn because of their sins. They may be remorseful at times, just like Esau was. He regretted his acts, his deeds, because it got him into trouble. But it's all a man-centered sorrow. But as Jesus says in Luke 6, verse 25, "Woe to those who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep." You see, all the laughter on this side of the grave is temporary. And at the hour of death, it's all wiped away. And they'll open their eyes in hell. And in hell, there is no laughter, but weeping and gnashing of teeth, Jesus says. He will weep because of the agony and the utter aloneness in hell. Being separated from having fellowship with God. Woe to those who laugh now, for they shall mourn. But, oh, the blessedness, the happiness, the highest kind of happiness, remember, of those who mourn now, for they will be comforted. The believer who shows godly sorrow like the Apostle Peter did. And those who have the attitude of Christ towards sin. Those who mourn and weep as they witness and experience the destructive power of sin. But who return to God, who turn to God, who repent of their sins. And when they repent and confess and acknowledge their sin, God comforts them by graciously pardoning all their sins on the basis of the work, the atonement of Jesus Christ. He assures those who mourn for their sin, He assures them that He will cast their sin into the depths of the sea. And He strengthens us with this promise that when our life here on earth is done, we will open our eyes in heaven and we'll see Jesus. And then we read those beautiful words, God Himself will wipe away all those tears from our eyes. When I think of that figure of speech, I think of God with a Kleenex in His hand. God with a Kleenex in His hand, wiping away the tears from our eyes. For in heaven, and ultimately on the new earth, there will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more deaths, no more persecution, no more natural disasters. There will be absolute, perfect peace. Peace with God. Peace with fellow men. Peace within my soul. Oh, yes. Blessed. Oh, the happiness of those who weep now. For in heaven we shall laugh. We shall laugh forever. In Psalm 126, the scriptures say, "Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy." Someone said, "The tears like raindrops fall into the ground, but they come up in flowers." Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. He says, well, how do you recognize the person that Jesus is describing in our text? What kind of person is he? Well, as we said, he is one who mourns because of his sin. And he's turned off by sin. And he feels bad because of the ungodliness in the world around him. But he's not rebellious. He's not a difficult person to get along with. But he's someone who takes life serious. But he's not cold, bitter, or angry. He's someone who does not minimize sin, but he's someone who fights sin. He's not someone who's in the dumps, but he clings to his faith and he rejoices in the glorious future that awaits him. He's happy and he's content. But he doesn't find his happiness in worldly things. Instead, his happiness is found in a quiet, serious, kind of a lasting happiness, the happiness that is only found in Jesus Christ. It's not a short-lived happiness, but it's a lasting happiness that fills your whole life and which follows you even after death and the happiness of heaven. That's the person who is blessed. Oh, the blessedness, the happiness of those who mourn. This life because of their sin. Because they will be comforted by the knowledge that their sin is covered by the blood of Christ. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Weep or laugh, one or the other. Which is it in your life? Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to you, O Lord, and we thank you for your word. You again have reminded us, O Lord, and you spoke to us, O Lord, that the person, that if we truly want to be happy, then we mourn because of our sin. But at the same time, we're comforted with the knowledge that our sin is covered by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. That if we weep now, we shall laugh forever and ever in your presence. Oh, Father, may each one of us be able to say this morning that we seek our happiness in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.